Went to catechism when I was 21, and I didn't know him then. And I was praying for a husband. I used to go to church. Say, you know, dear God, I'm 21. Please, you know, may I please find a good man, a husband. I want to get married. And I guess, call it superstition or something, I thought, oh, this is the one God gave me, you know. Because he started going to church with me, too, out of curiosity. And so I told him that if I got married, I wanted a Catholic wedding. Now, fine. And I said, well, you know that they have to approve of the man that I marry. So I introduced him to the priest, and he went and took instruction on a Catholic marriage. And at the end of all that instruction, the priest took me aside, and he says, I'm against this wedding. I'm against this marriage. And I was so surprised. I said, why? He says, because he will not strengthen you in your religion. And he says, you really should keep that in mind. So I thought, oh, he's wrong. He doesn't know that he is wonderful. And so that was the priest that married us. And so we did have a Catholic wedding, but the priest was against the marriage, so he wouldn't let me have, he says, either you can have music or you can have bridesmaids, but you can't have both. So I couldn't see myself marching down the aisle in silence, so I took the music. And a girl at work was an organist, and she played for weddings, and I asked her to play at mine, and she did. And I gave her some money, but not very much, because I really was broke, you know. And I think this was all just a lark for Roy, to tell you the truth. It was just an adventure, because I was the one that was making all the plans, and he didn't have any money, so I ended up paying for everything. I was the one that made the plans for the honeymoon. I found that I was doing everything, but I did it. And he was lost. He just didn't like. I was very romantic. I wanted our honeymoon night to be spent at the Biltmore Hotel. And I asked him to make reservations, and he didn't. So we show up, and there's no reservations. Things like that. You know. But I always attributed to innocence. I thought, oh, he's so innocent, so wonderful. You know, he hasn't been around at all. You know, he's so pure and good. And anyway, we got through the honeymoon, and he had taken an apartment. Well, that's the apartment that I was telling you about, where it was a bachelor's apartment. And since we were both working, it hardly mattered. It was, you pull out of the bed and you shove it back into the wall, little tiny kitchen. And a little tiny bathroom, and then there was this room.
Where was it?
And it was, I used to call it a flop house. It was the worst possible place you could possibly imagine. It was filthy dirty. It stunk. We paid $25 a month. It was furnished, and utilities were paid. So we could have lived on, comparable to Main Street, if you know where Main Street is. Crummy people, and drunks, prostitutes, horrible place, but it was an apartment. And since we were both working, I thought, well, we're never going to be here until we find a better place. And that's what he said, it's just temporary, we'll take it for a little while. Somebody told him about it, and he took it. And he had been living in it for 6 months. And while we were on our honeymoon, his mother and his sister came and cleaned it for us. And I was so glad that I had never gone there, you know, because I thought to myself, I bet they think that I've been coming here. Oh, you know your mind, you know. So I wanted their approval, and sure enough, nothing of mine was there. I hadn't been with him at all. And so I was, but I thought, gee, that was kind of, I wonder, you know, it was nice of them to come in and clean it up. I wondered, Virginia, his sister, said it was so filthy. He'd been eating and sleeping and the heck with everything. You know, like he opened cans and left them. And so, just seems like nobody ever said very nice things about him. But I was very protective. I ended up being very protective with him. I felt that nobody understood him but me. And I had fallen in love with him so much that I think that I would have chewed nails, you know, for him.
Did his family accept the marriage more by the time it happened?
Well, his mother liked me, and I think that's the reason why I went ahead with it. She wanted her son to go back to Eleanor. I think she wanted a girl who would take good care of her son, and she thought I would. And his sister wasn't especially friendly. I felt like she was tolerating me. His brother was out and out antagonistic, and he didn't even go to the wedding. It was that bad. He hardly said two words to me. So I knew that he was against it. But, you know, by the time you're 22 years old and you've already dated fellas, nothing is perfect. Either this fella does, or this, I mean, not this one's not right. Either your mother doesn't like this one, or your sister doesn't like that one, or opinions galore. And so I decided I was just going to follow my instincts. And since Mrs. Price approved, to me that was all I needed. And my mother just worshipped the ground he walked on. She thought he was perfect. And my brother, you know, was saying yes. My sister, all these yes, you know, on our side of the family. They all went. His brother didn't go. His sister showed up. And her husband didn't go. And, but Mrs. Price was nice. And said the right things, you know. So we went off on our honeymoon, as I said. And then they went over and cleaned the apartment. And I was grateful. I had 2 week vacation, so we had 1 week of our honeymoon, and then I stay home another week, and didn't know how to cook. I didn't know anything. I had cookbooks galore, and I had been to his family's house. His mother had cooked dinner for us, and she was a very good cook. So I had to try and learn how to cook. So I spent that week trying to please, you know, his palate. He went back to work. He was working at Westinghouse then, and in sales. He always wanted to be a salesman. And so I had dinner for him every night and played the housewife, you know, and knocked myself out. And so, I mean, you know, trying to learn how to cook is really the whole thing. In a week. So I went back to work, and of course then, you know, the real trial came, because he had already applied at the fire department. And we were married in August, and he was accepted in October to join the training team, you know. By then I had gone back to work, and I was in the full swing of working and going, and why, dinners, you just threw them together, right? Just ate what you could.
Did you ever think about not going back to work?
Never. Never. In fact, I probably would have worked the rest of my life if I had been allowed to, because I come from a working family. But he went to work for the fire department. Not to work, but he trained to become a fireman. And it was kind of nice because he was gone 24 hours. Oh, that the training period it was normal hours. But once was accepted and went to work as a fireman, it was nice because he was gone 24 hours and home 24 hours. And when he was gone 24 hours, I could come home and rest. He wore me out. I don't know why. I just wasn't used to a man. After all, had been me, you know, for so long, and now I had a man to contend with. The clothes, his clothes, my clothes, and the laundry, and the cooking, and it isn't easy. But it's something we all go through. So he loved the fire department, and everything went along very well until I got pregnant, which was probably a big mistake.
It was unplanned?
It must have been. If I didn't get pregnant on my wedding night, it was a miracle, because I didn't know anything about contraceptives. I had never had any intercourse. Can I say that? With anyone, and so my mother hadn't told me anything. I don't think the only ones that did know anything about such things were the girls that were considered loose. And the way we didn't have babies was we just didn't have intercourse, you know. So, and that's why you got married, was because then it was all right to have relations with your husband. And anyway, he knew about it, of course. So he was using the prophylactics. I tried the diaphragm, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand anything. And I said I got headaches from it. So I don't know. I guess we got carried away or something. It was unplanned, and yet I think both of us really should have known better. We weren't that dumb. But somehow, I got pregnant. I mean, a slip. He didn't wear it, because he was using those, you know. So if he didn't wear it, I got pregnant. And he really wasn't ready for a baby. I was delighted. Oh, I was the happiest thing in the world, because I thought, oh, you know, I was still so very much in love with him, and a child by him, to me, was the epitome of happiness. And I still had Eleanor, and I thought, Eleanor, you didn't get it, you're going to suffer. Not really. Yeah. I thought, well, now the marriage is really solid, and I was very happy, but he didn't really want a child. And so I noticed that he wasn't exactly elated. And none of the family was.
None of his family?
No. They were not. So...
What was your pregnancy like for you?
Well, what do we know about pregnancy the first time around? All I knew was that I didn't have a period, and golly Moses, in no time at all I had morning sickness, you know, and I was putting on all these airs at work. Lucky me, you know. One of the lucky girls had found a wonderful man and was going to have a child, because the girls at work were always so snoopy, you know. The girl who I was working with immediately knew that I had morning sickness, and the word got around because she had to relieve me. And Roy didn't know that all this happiness was going on at work, you know. And here he is, miserable. I didn't want anybody to know that he was miserable. And as far as abortion goes, it just didn't enter my mind. But I had a lot of pride, and I wanted the baby, and... I didn't want to work with a big stomach, because I was a receptionist, and I didn't think I should stay. Now I know that girls do stay on, but I probably should have tried. They stay on till the very end, but I didn't stay. So I guess what I thought, I'll just see how it goes. Maybe after the baby's born, if it's a boy especially, he'll like it. You know, he'll love the baby. But when the baby came, the family was against it, I guess. And I think that maybe they had discussed it, you know. Didn't think it was right.
What was it like for you?
It was going to be a mixed breed. Let's put it that way. The baby was going to be a mixed, what do you call that? Blood, the mixture of the bloods. And there was fear coming from the south. I guess they were afraid of the dark blood. And it never entered my mind that the baby would be dark. And she turned out to be as blonde, blue-eyed, and more than them.
What was it like for you having him not be...
Very, very uncomfortable. But I started spending a lot more time with my mother's house. I made my maternity clothes, all of them. And I got very close to my sister.
Did they know that he wasn't happy?
I think it was obvious. And I began to have thoughts about going home permanently if it didn't work out that they liked the baby. So I was beginning to set a little nest over there for myself, and I asked him when the baby was born, and she was just gorgeous from the minute she was born. Some babies are not pretty when they're born. She was. Beautiful head, you know, where some of them have distorted heads, she didn't. She had a beautiful head, beautiful body, and I'm pink. At first he was cool about the idea of the baby was born and all. And I didn't even want to go home to him then. I went home to my mother's. And that, like I told you before, I asked him in a nice way if I could stay with my mother because my sister was there, and I didn't know anything about babies. And I didn't want to take the baby to that place. There was no air. And the thought of just eating and living and drinking, you know, everything in one room was, to me, very unhealthy.
You had said, you told me before that you had been afraid somewhat. Can
yes,
you
I
tell me about that?
Afraid of, I had many fears. Well,
afraid of him during the pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, you'd never know anyone until you live with them. And I only saw this the hulk of a man, the outside. And the outside was very handsome. And I showed you a picture of that beautiful man. I didn't see the dark part of it. The dark side. I didn't know that he was the nervous person that he was. He used to get up in the middle. He had a knife. And he always had it by him. I don't mean by his side, but handy. And sometimes he'd get up in the middle of the night, he'd grab the knife, run out the front door, and run. And he'd come back all sweaty, miserable. And I'd ask him, why did you go? Where did you go? He said, I had to get out of here. He said, I had to run. And I said, well, why did you take the knife? He says, for self-protection. My God, you know? This was completely, I mean, I had been a girl who went to bed at 8 o'clock at night because it was cold and slept like a log. We had peace. But I married a man who had problems, who had all these terrible thoughts, and was probably, I don't know if it was the war, it must have been, and I attributed it to the war, so I gave him a lot of room. And I hated the war for doing that to him. And devoted myself to making it up to him, to making him happy, and to keeping him as clean and as well-fed and as all the sex in the world, if that's what, you know, any time, anywhere, you know, just, I hear, well, it's, you know, if that's what makes him happy. I didn't get anything out of our relationship sexually at all. It was all for him. But in as much as I hadn't been around at all, I didn't know from nothing. So I thought that that was the way it was supposed to be. I think most women feel that way. So nothing made him happy anyway. I mean, I did everything. And yes, my fear came about when I realized too that I was going to have a baby, and he was a very nervous man. He was still running around wherever in the middle of the night with a knife. And I was afraid that he'd have some kind of a fit and hurt the baby because she cried. I knew she would be crying. After all, my sister had had her baby, and I knew all about babies. I mean, you know, the babies get dirty, babies cry, and babies are bothersome. But you know what I mean. And I just didn't think he had the nervous control over his nerves, and I was afraid he would hurt the baby.
So you went home to your
mother's? I went home to my mother's, and I planned to stay. And by then I had fear. I was afraid of him. And he didn't look that good to me anymore. You know? I was beginning to see him more as maybe even someone who had been taught to kill, who hadn't quite gotten over some of those things that were bothering him. He was no longer the beautiful young man. And I think that once you have a child, the mother instinct comes over you very strong. And I was very protective of my child. And I didn't like his looks anymore. He looked dark. He looked brooding. He looked fearsome, hateful, unhappy. There was not any of that beautiful romance. Everything was changed. But I didn't have a job, and I had a baby, and I was living with my mother, and I didn't have any money. And my poor mother had already, you know, supported all of us. And where I had been helping her, I couldn't help her now. And I'm sure she was doing some thinking herself, everyone. And he was not giving me any money. And so I had to ask him for money. And he resented that. He had become a resentful man. So I didn't think he wanted us. And I wanted to stay at my mother's very much. And I was just about to ask her, I was about to ask my sister if she would help me with the baby. And when I got my, you know, the 6 weeks were up, I thought, well, maybe Sterling will take me back. And then I think he realized that. And then my body started to go back to its old shape, and I had a nice shape at one time. I mean, you know, you work at being thin and a small waist, and I began to look a little bit better to him, so he So he started to come over a little more and started cleaning himself up a little bit more and started to take a real interest in the baby. Like I told you, on his days off, he would come, and then bought a bathanet and started buying the pet milk and started picking the baby up. But still the nerves, I could tell that if the baby cried, he didn't want her. He'd just take her and leave. So you see, I was right in not staying in that place. And, but then I was really caught up between, I mean, I was caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, because I know my mother really didn't want me to stay. We were terribly overcrowded. And the baby cried. She got colic. And, so, inasmuch as he looked interested in the baby, and she was his child, and she was so pretty, I thought maybe we could work it out. And so I told him that I didn't ever want to go back to that place to live. And that that if he ever found a place with a bedroom, that then I would go back. So there were, in 1949, there was still a housing shortage, and he couldn't find a place, or else he didn't have time to look. In the meantime, Mrs. Price had moved into an apartment complex. There were four units, and then two more in the back. And then there was a yard here with clotheslines, and that's a picture that you saw. And she had a little tiny apartment in the back over the garages. And she heard that there was going to be a vacancy in the front apartments. So that's how anybody got an apartment. She asked the landlord immediately if her son could have the apartment. And the landlord later told us that the only reason that he let us have the apartment was because she looked so tired. She had worked, by then she was working for the railroad, cleaning the railroad, the cars. She was always a cleaning woman. And she had come home from work and heard about it and immediately asked. And I guess she looked so tired and he felt so sorry for her that he let her have it. Us have it without even seeing us. And maybe Roy had been telling her that both of us, we would read ads or we would hear about an apartment and we'd go see about it. The minute they heard we had a baby, no children. And 4 weeks had gone by from the time I'd had the baby, and there was some pressure going on at home. My mother wanted money. The baby was crying a little bit too much, and all these people around, and my poor mother was tired. And so, because I figured, well, he's my husband, father of this child, we've got to try. So we got the apartment, and I had gone to school with the landlord's sister, so I thought, well, that's nice, at least she knows me. It was all Anglos, by the way. This was not a predominantly Mexican neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Now it is.
It was in East LA?
It was in East Los Angeles. It was on Eastman Avenue, not too far away from where I lived before I met him, where I grew up, where all my girlfriends used to come over and visit, and we used to have, this was the war years. And my mother was evicted from that house. I told you that somebody bought the house and evicted us so they could live in it. And then she had to buy the house that we lived in when I met my husband. And that was closer to her job. And then his family lived right around the corner from us. But when we rented this apartment, it was back home for me. I went back to my neighborhood. I knew everybody. And it was just like a release for me, a new beginning, an apartment and a beautiful baby and a husband that I thought looked a little bit happier. And he was getting it, he did it when you, he was, how old now by then? He was over 30. So I guess he had to give it some thought, and he decided that he did want a family, that he did want the child. And Terry was blossoming and looking gorgeous. And I think I gave you a picture where we were lined up in the backyard. Well, Terry was only 6 months old there. And you can already see how pretty she was. Beautiful little thing. And she did captivate him,
Who were the other tenants in the apartment building?
Well, they were all young girls like me, the same, not like me, because they were all Anglos. But we all had children. And his mother lived in the back. And then there was the landlord's brother, who acted as manager with his wife, lived in the other apartment in the back, too. And we got along beautifully. We all got along so well. And for Halloween, we all got together. Every apartment had something going. We had a Halloween party, the whole place. And like In one place, in one apartment, we put all the babies. In one apartment, they had the dinner. And in my apartment, we did the dancing, if I remember correctly. Because I remember I made room for everything. And that's how we were. We had to take turns at the clothesline. So we had to get together. Mm-hmm. We all had to. Like Monday was my day, Tuesday was somebody else's, and you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So we got along beautifully, and Roy was still a fireman. And then I got pregnant again. Then I think it was my idea. I mean, I was not working, you know. I'll tell you, I did try to go back to work after when Terry was 6 months old or thereabouts. I wanted to go back to work. And I asked a very good friend of mine. We were close. We babysat for one another and played cards together a lot. And we were very close. And she too was thinking of going back to work.